Hi, Gitvach. This is Yisachar Wartel. This week's Torah portion is another double parsha. I mean, we haven't had one in a little while, but it doesn't seem like too long ago that we did. And it's Truma. Truma's the topic. It shows you where I am at. No, it's Matos Mase. Also, hold on, I forgot to just... Okay, and this week's Dvar Torah is a couple different sponsors. One, the ongoing Refuah Shleima for Zev Ben Leia, or Dr. Zelenko, and then another one, which is Refuah Shleima of Chaim Yosef Zev, Chaim Yosef Zev Ben Fega, and Yuri, or Ori, Ben Fega. So, wishing all of those people a quick and speedy Refuah Shleima. So, once again, now that I'm actually focused, is Parshat Matot and Mase, or Matos and Mase, as some people might say. No, it does not mean airplane as in Matos. It means Matos as in tribes in this case, which is interesting because, you know, as I had mentioned before, a Mate is also a staff, which is interesting because the other word for tribe is Shevet, which also means staff. So just something to, another extra little piece to maybe talk about at the Shabbos table. But in Parshat Matos Mase, Matos specifically, which often, very frequently, falls out either in or adjacent to the 9 days, and we're approaching Rosh Chodesh Av, this coming Shabbos. So it actually literally falls out the very beginning of the 9 days. Basically, Shavuot Shechalba is right after Shabbos, so months of Shabbos. And therefore, it's crucial to focus on the a couple different aspects. But one specifically is, you know, as we know, Lashon Hara, as we know, it's told us time and time again, Sinas Chinam Lashon Hara really brought down the second Beit HaMikdash. But it also, there's some hints to it in this week's Parsha. So we really need to focus on strengthening Beidon the Mechabero, but especially, Diva or evil speech. And I'll explain in a moment how this is all connected. So there are two actual parts to this, and I'll start with one. One way in which is connected. One way that the Torah teaches us to be careful about speech is by the way the Parsha begins, the first Parsha Matos. It talks about Nedarim, which are vows, and specifically how one must be exceedingly careful with the words that one utters out of its mouth, or her mouth, his, hers, whatever. Right? And the first Aliyah, the notion of an utterance, in this case specifically a woman's, is mentioned three times indicative of utmost significance. As we know, a lot of times when Chazal point out that we have something three times, it is a chazakah. Now, in the first two instances, the Torah uses the phrase Mivta Svateha, right? Which literally means the expression of her lips. He uses this term twice, once by a girl in her father's house, and once by a wife in relation to her husband. Now, the Gemara in Masechet Shavuos, Daf Chaf Amud Aleph, debates whether this language of Mifta is actually a language of Shvua, meaning an oath, or whether it introduces an oath. Now, either way, it's clear that this Mifta has the power to create something binding. And that's getting at the whole separate discussion about the difference between a Shvua and a Neder. I'm not getting there into that right now. But nonetheless, right, a mifta can be something that also affects other people, if not annulled. In fact, Chazal teach explicitly that the only time a husband has the ability to annul a wife's nether is if it impacts him, their relationship, or in a certain sense, the household, which is kind of like an extension of the relationship. And, you know, so if it's not annulled, it'll then continue to wreak havoc and destroy kind of the fabric of the family, or at least their relationship. Now, Chazal teach via Kabbalah that each time one speaks or utters something, that person is in fact creating something in this world, which is an incredibly powerful yet scary concept to think about, that when you actually utter a word, you're actually creating an energy, and some sources say you're creating a malach, right? You speak positively, you're creating a positive malach or positive forces, right? You speak negatively, you're creating negative forces or a negative malach, and it's a very scary thing to think about. The more negatively you speak, the more negative forces you put into the world, which is, you know, very damaging. And conversely, if you speak very positively, if you say good things, you have a positive tone, you say things which are constructive, right? It adds a positive force into the world. Hashem curated the world through his dibrut, his speech, and mankind is created in Hashem's image. And what makes us unique from other beings on this earth is our ability to create, even if in a certain sense we are creating something seemingly from nothing. That's right. Let me say that again. Right, and it's something I believe I said in another Dvar, possibly by
Parshas Devarim last year, that normally we're known as Yotzrim, not Borim, right? The only being that can truly create something from nothing is Hashem, right? That's generally the difference between Borei and Yotzer. However, it's not entirely true in a certain sense. Like in the physical world, we can create something from nothing by creating spiritual forces that did not exist before. Like, so we're not actually making something from something else, right? In the physical world, we make something, it has to be as something else. We can only be a Yotzer, not a Borei. But we can create physical, and from the physical world, we can manifest or create spiritual or non-physical entities, right? Whether it's in the form of energy, malach, whatever you want to call it, right? We can create things. And in that respect, we're actually a Borei. We're emulating Hashem in the highest regard, which then therefore gives us an immense responsibility with what comes out of our mouth. Now, the word Mivta, Mem Bet Tet Aleph, is equivalent numerically to the word Ben, which means child. Just as when one brings a child into this world, so too is one responsible for one's words. The words that you deliver, in a certain sense, are your children. So the third instance of an utterance in our parsha used the term motzei sabateha, which means what comes out of her mouth. And that's specifically by a widow or divorced woman. There is nobody anymore to annul her words. What has come out of her mouth stands, and what comes out of her mouth almost always stands as well. I mean, yes, there are ways to take it to a chacham and get it annulled, but most of the time it will stand. We cannot really take back what we say. The vast majority of the time, once we say something, it's out there. That's even more so with today's social media. You have to be exceedingly careful. The child of our words is now out in the world, and it can grow and take on its own life until we no longer have control of it. And no more is that true than, you know, with evil speech or slander. It's just rumors. I know there's like so many expressions like in the modern world, but I can't think of them right now. Actually, many of them I think stem from classic literature, maybe even the Greeks. But you know, there's so many sayings that warn us, including in Chazal, about how speech can grow rampant and really, you know, take over and become kind of like a monster in itself. But you know, so that's obviously something we have to really think about and how damaging that can be, and we have to solidify ourselves so that we do not succumb to the temptation to malign or you know, speak negatively, certainly about other people, and, you know, any time in life, but make an extra effort during these 3 weeks and certainly the 9 days. But not only that, not only should we aim to refrain from the negative speech or damaging language, which, you know, can also possibly include foul language, we also need to strive to replace it with positive and actually make a tikkun, right? As I've explained, I have a video on this. Let me know if you'd like the link. And I may have spoken about it on here once before, that the 9 days correspond to the letter Tet, which represents mystically a vessel, and a vessel is what you put into it. So even though we're often thinking about, you know, the avoiding putting negative energy, so to speak, in that vessel, in that basket, we can fill it up with positivity. So the 9 days don't just have to be a time for refraining. They could be a time for adding. You can add, it might be a time to be mamaya basimcha, but you can still add lots of light. You can still add lots of positivity to the world. In fact, it's one of the most crucial times to do so. You know, and that's the power of speech that we have. That's the ultimate way in which we're Pitzam Elokim, and that's truly the power of mankind. Now, the other interesting way, which I'm only going to just very briefly touch upon, that mentions about the power of speech is when Moshe is confronting Reuven and Gad when they ask about basically settling the land on the eastern side of the Jordan, which was, you know, tribal territory that they had conquered, but it wasn't really meant to be part of the true 12th tribal territory. You know, there's different, I think, talks as to what it was really meant to be otherwise. But, you know, Moshe had said, you know, well, why are you disdaining this land? You know, and, you know, he goes back and mentions, you know, with the Meraglim and how they had done Dibat Haaretz, which is, you know, evil speech and slander in the land, and which gives us yet again a hint, which basically that was something which basically condemned almost all of Klal Yisrael, or at least the men, to staying in the Midbar, and you had to wait till the next generation in order to merit going into the land of Israel. So there are two different lessons which teach us about how to be careful with their speech. And the second case is not even speaking bad about other people. It's, you know, in fact, neither of these two cases are really speaking bad about other people. The first one is being careless with your words by respecting the Nadarim and Shuot. And the second one is, you know, not slandering a land or something that Hashem gave you. So it goes without saying that if we have to be careful about those Lashonos, how we speak with regards to a vow and how we speak with regards to other inanimate objects that Hashem had given us, then even more so, how much do we have to be respectful and be cognizant not to speak ill of Hashem's greatest creation, meaning man who is made in B'Tselem Elohim. So keep that in mind and become weak, and I'll wish you all a Shabbat Shalom.